How are we gonna restore 15 to 20 million jobs? I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we serve southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware on the radio. However, people can tune in from anywhere in the USA simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. And as you know, after the broadcast, a few hours later, we do send out a link to everyone. If they weren't able to listen or they want to listen again, you can get that link. And I encourage you to sign into our Join Our E-Link list, which is located right on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Well, I want to tell you, we have our very, very distinguished panel members with us today. Mark Andel, who you know as the founder of the Made in America store. Larkin Connolly, well-known national small business advocate. Rich Loges, principal of RJL Technology Integration. Our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky, is on his vacation. I'm Michael Blihash, your host. And, of course, Curtis Ellis of the American Jobs Alliance, always out there promoting the American First Project, is on the road today. In fact, they have a big, big promo for the American Made Project, so I wish Curtis the very best. As we begin our broadcast today, I just want to note that our listeners, especially those that I meet in my travels, are very supportive that we stayed focused on promoting ways to support American workers and urged people to look at products to see where the products are being made and also to look who's really benefiting from those products. Are we just salespeople at the cash register and stockers to the shelves, or are we making all or a portion of the items? The school supply issue was a big, big issue in the last month. As people went in, they started to see more American-made labels, but of course there's room for a lot of improvement. And our listeners also tell me that disharmony by elected officials and the news media really doesn't do anything for people. But on American Workers Radio, we do our best to try to stay focused on what we can do to help American workers and the businesses that are employing them. I always tell people, if both parties and all national appointed officials and the news media could just work together, America would be a lot better off. And I mean a lot better off. I follow a little bit of my own advice from time to time, and I'll just tell you what that is. I try to be my best, and I encourage you to be your best. Keep your word. If you say you're going to go out and do something, do it. Be confident, but also be humble in doing that. Don't waste time on foolish things. Treat others as you would like to be treated, and be prepared to earn things, not ask for them for free. I think those are a few things that we have to all get back to thinking about and starting to get people in America to do. Let's not fall into the bull category. I looked at some of the reports on TV. Everything is drowning people in negativity. I myself don't care who's running for president. If they're young, old, or in between, I want to see what they have to offer. And as I said many times, I ask people to look at the candidates, and I also say, by the way, if there's 20 up there now or 10 or whatever, in the end it's going to be one and maybe an independent. So let's not get ourselves too worked up, and let's not worry about what this one has to say or do, but let's look what they have to put in writing, because in writing, you know, when you buy a house, you get things in writing. You buy a car, you get things in writing. I want those people to put their spiel in writing so that we can look at it. So when they decide that they're not going to run, we'll be able to say, but they did have some good ideas. Right now, it's a lot of talk, but it's not a lot in writing. And one last thing before I go to Mark Andel today. Americans look for opportunities. We have to look for opportunities to help ourselves. We can't look for excuses anymore why something is not being accomplished. When people talk to me, being in human services, I talk to a lot of people and they tell me, well, you know, this and that. And I say, well, have you documented any of your own information? Do you have a resume? Have you been prepared to go to some job training? Most of the time it's no, because I was trying to get the exact job that I had a year ago. And I said, well, if that job's not available, you can't duplicate a job that doesn't exist. Well, I was hoping that, you know, somebody would need me and I'll fall into the category again. I said, well, maybe it's time for you to do some retraining of yourself. And in doing that, you may be eligible to be available for more jobs than you even think. First, I would like to turn to Mark Andel today. Mark, give us the full treatment.
Yeah, how you doing, Mike? You know, Larkin and Rich, I know Curtis isn't with us, and I hope Henry's enjoying himself. Mike, it's been busy here. We just finished our 12-day run, our Erie County Fair. So we had the Made in America store set up, 6,000 square foot, and General Welding's 8,000 square foot display. And we got it all ripped down and broken down, but had a wonderful time and really set a record with Made in America. And it just shows that the mission, Mike, is truly alive and well. And people not only respect us, but what we do, but we've done the homework for them. So they love coming to the store knowing that the product's 100% made in our country. We looked at all the different products we had, and the consumers talked to a lot of them. They were buying everything. We had a new Betsy Ross 13-star shirt, Mike, and we got the 13-star flag. Boy, they were buying them up because they believe, that shouldn't go away. That's the original flag and the 13 stars. And just had a wonderful run, but the mission, a lot of compliments on what we do. We even hear about you, Mike, the show. They just believe and they want more and more. I think the Made in America is stronger than ever. I think consumers are realizing they can make quite a difference with just educating themselves and making the correct purchase. And, voting with their dollars is very important, too. I'm excited. Now we're going to switch gears and get into that Made in America event that's being held in Indiana the first week of October. Just this morning they sent a list of the speakers, and I was honored that they had me on the list. But they've got a lot of great people going to be speaking. The event's growing very big, and it's under one roof, Mike, so I think it's great for the movement. I think it's great to go see products and machines and equipment that are made in America, but I think these speeches and all the people are coming together that believe in what we're doing, so I think that's very important. And again, like you do, Mike, with your show, education, educate the people, raise awareness, and be consistent with that message is very, very important. But we're going strong. The skilled trades push is really strong too. Been talking to a lot of people, especially at the fair. You get a million people over them 12 days. And a lot of good talk. Everybody agrees the metal shops, wood shops should go back into schools. Everybody agrees that the stigma's got to be lifted, and we got to allow our children, our students, to apply themselves and take that path of craftsmanship and working with your hands. And I always say everything I have has a computer on it. So I see that changing quite a bit because you cannot grow this economy, Mike and guys, without having the workers to be able to come to these companies and grow with them. So that's something that's going to hurt the growth of the economy. But I think we're very strong. But, that's, Mike, a little report where we are. But we're going forward. We got Labor Day weekend coming up. So a big weekend to celebrate the workers of this country.
You know what, Mark? You just gave us a great report, and I want to only add one thing. I would say that 90% or 95% of the people at that fair were all American workers, whether yes. They were selling pizza or running the rides or manning the booths. They were all American workers. God bless.
And it's funny you say that because there's a lot of carnies and I work with, and they work very hard, 12 days, and they go from our Erie County Fair to the State Fair in Syracuse. And you're right, Mike. They're inventors, entrepreneurs, but they're risk takers. We talked about that the other week. There's people that like a certainty. You know, they want a guaranteed a job, and that's it. Or you got the risk taker, that entrepreneur, which I think is the true American. You see that at these fairs, carnivals. And one thing, you know, just hats off to the people. And our new shirt, was the Boots Not Suits Built America. Now, that hits right in the hands. These people that work with their hands, they love that shirt at the fair. They bought them up. One thing also at the fair, we do a flag retreat ceremony every night, every evening. A hero, a veteran was chosen and honored, a full band, a lowering of the flag, and then the flag is folded by the color guard and presented to this hero. Very touching, Mike. 12 days at a fair, and I want to say we started that last year. We sponsored it at our Erie County Fair, but it won third place in the country, and fairs and county fairs and state fairs across the country are adopting this program. And they're up to 12 other state fairs now are doing this program every night at their fairs. They're going to honor a veteran. So I think hats off. We were part of it, and it's just it's a great tribute to those who served us.
Boy, Mark, that is beautiful to hear.
And Michael, I would add one more point to what Mark has said, and that is there's nothing more American than a state fair.
It is.
I love them, quite frankly.
It's American as it gets.
And that food, Larkin's good. Gain a little weight.
I'm sure of that.
You know, Mark, as you were talking, I just wanted to say, people are in the news media trying again to aggravate the people, talking about recessions and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I see
and
that.
And my thinking is this. Recessions happen. You, Larkin and Rich, tell me if I'm wrong. Recessions happen when people lose jobs and they don't have money to spend on what they need. They don't have the confidence in the tomorrow because they're not earning. So I urge our supporters to focus on ways to ensure that we keep the jobs that are in America and get more of them coming to America by buying American made and supporting all of your local businesses. That's where it all comes from.
Yeah. And I just want to add one part real quick. You're talking about disposable income. We want confidence, consumer confidence. And just hearing that, I tape World News. I listened to it a little last night to catch up after the fair 12-day run. But we got to talk positive. The torch should be passed on. We shouldn't try to put out and create a recession. Buy and made in America, there are no tariffs on. It's the best thing you could do for the country you live in. But go ahead, Larkin. Sorry.
No, you took the words right out of my mouth. Recessions, every economy has to adjust. It can't just grow. I mean, we can't expect the Dow to be at, 42,000, 5 years from now. There has to be an adjustment, and great economies and great countries control those adjustments by making adjustments of their own to get their populace through it. But when you have a media that is out there harping, there's going to be a recession. 75% of the economists say there's going to be a recession. I want them to show me 75% of the economists in this country. That is such a made-up figure. It's not even funny. And CBS, no compunctions whatsoever in publicizing such a ridiculous statistic. 75% of the economists.
You're right, and I want to say something is happening with the American people in the last 3 years. There was just a report out on which people are watching which cable stations. And I want to tell you, some of those that act like they're big deals have very little or no ratings. They're not even in the top 30. Some of them not even in the top 50. If you looked at them, you would swear they're, a number one. But they are just promoting the political rigmarole, scaring the people. If you only knew how many emails I get from these political people, it's amazing. That's why I'm not for promoting this election gig at all, because it's always something. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm appearing here. I'm appearing there. And the next thing is, I need money. Donate to me.
And the focus is to take is to take from our president to try to put something bad out there. But I agree, Larkin, and like, we cannot, you don't want to forecast a recession. We got a positive movement. Our businesses are booming. Even talking to the carnies and the people around the country, there's a lot of positive going on. So even to mention it or discuss it, it just shouldn't happen. We should be talking and thinking positive.
Well, naturally, if a person hears recession, they're really going to be fearful. Many of the people that are on radio stations are talking that there's not going to be a recession. And I, in fact, spoke to one this week where we agreed recessions happen mainly when people lose jobs and lose confidence. Let's not lose jobs and let's not lose confidence, but urge people to be thrifty, understanding, go out and enjoy life, help one another, love one another. This is all missing in America if we allow it. Right now, we're seeing more enthusiasm. People are out, even at the shores. Everybody is happier. Why is that? Because they feel confident. My job is secure. Everything is going to be good. If you listen to this nonsense on these some of these stations, you think, oh my God, it's time to put, you know, all the good days behind us. No, the good days are in front of us. May I call upon Rich Logis? How are you doing, Rich?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Good morning, Mark and Mark. And Henry's, I don't know where he's probably right around over Houston, Texas about now, I'm guessing.
I'm hoping.
You know, so, yeah, he's probably there. So when he hears this, you know, we miss him. But when he hears it, I got to let him know again. He's a swing voter in a swing state. We're going to earn his vote for next year, Larkin and Mark. And you know, remember? Let me make a point on. I want to make first off, congratulations to Mark on the speakership. We need to talk, Mark, because we're all going to go there, and we're going to support you being there. We're going to support all the Made in America vendors, including those who are devoted listeners to our show, Mike Sessions, all the people who are working on, in my opinion, is important an issue, especially an economic issue in the country, is Made in America. Remember a few weeks ago, guys, when Larkin had brought up that New York Times video saying, you know, we're not really the greatest country, we're just okay. And I'd mentioned that I'd actually discussed that on my podcast, my twice-a-week propaganda, Michael. And when you hear the way, see, it's a twofold part of this, Larkin, in my opinion. The first part is the fear mongering, let's just be honest about it, is just a part of life in politics, right? Fear and greed is what human beings, those are the two emotions human beings make decisions on or vote on, consume, whatever it may be. So there's that part of it. I don't like it. I don't agree with it, but it just happens, just the natural part of political life. But the second part of it, I think, actually bugs me more, Michael. The second part of it is maybe I'm just mistaking this, Mark, and I'm misconstruing what's being said, but it almost sounds like they're rooting for a recession.
Yeah.
See, that to me is the part. You know, Holly Weird just produced a film, which is supposedly satire, where elites, quote-unquote, hunt deplorables. That's what it's actually said in a film, Michael. So I did a segment on my show recently, and I said, Hollywood wants you dead or poor. And I quoted Bill Maher, because he's been on a let's hope for a recession kick. And I said that. I said, Hollywood wants you dead or poor, depending on how you vote. And you want to talk about negativity, Michael. That negativity is tough to top right there. I want you dead is tough to, you know. I understand it's, you know, tongue in cheek and it's satire. But have you noticed a trend over the last 2 years? Have you noticed a normalization, a mainstreaming of violence, a mainstreaming of hoping for a recession? A recession harms most, Michael, who? Working families, small business owners,
mainly,
middle class,
absolutely,
senior citizens. You know, all those affluent, white, privileged Democrats. Most affluent white people in America are Democrats. Most of those people, yeah, they might take a lump here or there in a recession, but they're fine. They're okay. They've got all the access in the world to the best accountants, best tax sheltered. I'm not begrudging it, but always notice who's selling, who wants a recession. And it's really, I don't know, Larkin, it's just, you know, imagine someone saying, I want you to lose equity in your home. I want you to lose your 401k. I want you to lose your job. I want you to, Mark, I want you to lose your business. I mean,
or your parents say, you're never going to be nothing.
Right.
That's a level.
That's right.
You know, that's
you're
a,
right, Rich.
That's a, yeah, it's what it is.
Yeah, you know, I feel sometimes that hate has almost become a business of its own in America.
It has, though. But, you know, unfortunately, and look, I'm not saying that this crap didn't exist in some parts under President Obama. It did, right? It did. Again, it's a natural part of politics. But,
you know, Rich, I think that this hate gig has been going on for a long, long time. This fear gig has been going on for a long time. Our people were told that all the cheap stuff was going to be made in China and other places, and only the real quality stuff would be made in America. Now we're looking at a situation where everything possible was being made in China, and everything that is our properties invented in America is now belonging to someone else. And they told people, oh, no, you don't want to work. You just want to sit back and send out bills and stuff like that. That type of economy never worked. The whole service economy idea was stupid. Stupid from the first time I heard it.
I don't know if you guys seen, though, they had a – it was on World News last night. They said that the tariffs the president's causing against China is going to cost the American workers or American people $1,000 a year.
I saw that.
So I said to myself, buy less crap, right? Buy less China crap. Buy more made in America. Make better, smarter decisions on your purchases and buy a quality product. If you educated them more instead of putting that on, I think we'd be better off. But that had to be done. What our president's doing had to be done, and nobody had the guts to do it is the fact.
Well, you know, everybody says, well, you're promoting just Trump. No, we're promoting a president that is doing what he said he would do.
Okay, Michael, can I make a comment on that? Can I make a comment on that? Look, Mark, I saw that report also, and I thought immediately about you, and I thought about all of us. And what I missed in the report, look, telling people they're going to spend more money on the surface, it's, I guess, bad news initially. But
they have a choice not to, though.
Right, but here's what I missed from the report. Here's what I actually missed. That $1,000 that they're talking about, the added spending, what is the actual cost going to be over 5 or 10 years in that household? You know what you're going to find? That it would be more buying China-made crap than American-made. Right. See, that right there is how you actually report the story. But why doesn't the D-Mike Democrat Media Industrial Complex, ABC, is run by Mickey and Minnie?
Yeah, because
so
if, Rich.
So they're not reporting the actual story.
I don't think I'm Mickey and Minnie.
If they ain't reporting the real story, see, again, there's the narrative. They want to report the narrative. The narrative is it's going to cost you more, cost you more, cost you more, cost you more. Okay, factually, that's technically true, Larkin, but that's the narrative. What's the actual story? The actual story is, look, you know it's going to cost you more right now, but over time, is it going to cost you more sticking with this crap, or is it going to cost more staying with Made in America? And in reality, right now, at this moment of time, Michael, August 21st, 2019, United States, for the vast majority of products that are made overseas, they cost the same to make here.
Yes,
absolutely.
And
that's the point.
Not all, but the majority do.
And the point,
you know,
I
will say this to you, but wait, this is for everyone to take into consideration. There are products that do come from foreign countries that are a third of the price that you pay for at the cash register. The middlemen make all the money. I check it all out. I ask. I search on the internet. How can something on the internet be 30 or 40% less than you can buy it for in a store? Because the merchandisers want that direct profit. So buy American made, and if you can't find it, complain about it. People complaining at the cash registers to owners, investors, to store clerks, to store managers has been the biggest thing we've promoted in many, many years.
And
because
Mike,
no person wants to see anybody angered or walking out the door shopping elsewhere because they don't offer a particular item or a competitive item. If you had a competitive item, foreign and American, you'd at least have a choice. But these merchandisers, be careful. Tell your people at the store, you better look for a different merchandiser. Merchandisers need to start looking at the American-made stuff. They don't want to do it because they make less profit. Yes, American-made items are more costly to get to the merchandiser, but it's the same price when you get to the cash register.
Absolutely.
Michael,
in business,
just make less
Michael,
money
in
American-made.
Look, I'm not expecting the people reports to be the economic geniuses of geniuses. That's not what I'm asking and requesting here. But tariffs is a business discussion. It's an economic discussion. And in business, Larkin knows this, Mark knows this, I know this, Michael, you know this, lots of our listeners do, Henry. There's something called total cost of ownership. If you want to actually report, Curtis knows this, the actual story about this, about tariffs, about instituting on a small scale, what the president's doing is a small scale in the right direction. It's a small scale of economic nationalism. What it is, and the press, the Democrat media industrial complex is not interested in the story. They're interested in the narrative. And Larkin, I it must be a coincidence because all the narratives I always see are so anti the president. It must be a coincidence.
But yeah, you know what? Yeah. You're right. You're right. But, Rich, here's where something has gone wrong in the last 25 years. We should have had president after president promoting the Buy American Made campaign. We should be now, 25 years later, be able to look back and say, well, I thought Clinton was better at promoting American Made, or Bush was better, or Obama was better. Not to have all of those asleep on this subject and then have Trump come in and all of a sudden make this a priority. As I said, the next presidents, not only next 5 or 10 presidents, all presidents are going to have to be accountable to the American people to keep those jobs here. Trump opened a door that should have been opened by Clinton. He had a good economy because it was the dot-tech revolution. All the computers and everything was, you know, going strong. He had a good economy. Next came 9/11, Bush. Everything became, oh, we got to protect America. After that came Obama. There was this major recession in America. He took care of that. Things started to move a little bit better. Then came Trump, and he said, we're not going to sit. We're not dwelling in the dark. We're moving forward. What's the problem of promoting something that's made in this country? Someone made a comment to me this morning. It's time for us to cut out the cancer. Stay focused on what we're doing. Move forward.
And Mike, being more consistent, educating more, and raising awareness on what it actually means for a consumer to buy a Made in America product. How does that help? I think they could spend more time on really showing people buying one product, supporting maybe 10 to 15 other branches that of business that actually make a component to that one product, and showing how it can create a job and your neighbor's job and your family's job, or maybe create a job for your children's future by helping these vendors and manufacturers in our own country. I don't think people understand the concept and how it actually works. And Rich, you brought up Mickey and Minnie. Walt Disney World sells happiness. That's what they sell. I think the media should start working with Walt Disney World a little more.
And I'll tell you one thing. I would like to look at the labels on all the products that come from Disneyland and Disney World to see
Absolutely.
How they've been helping to
everybody
American
part,
workers.
Mike.
All those people coming to Disneyland and Disney World are people who work and earn the money to be able to go and spend. How much of the paraphernalia, the hats, the shirts, the skirts, whatever they're offering for the kids to wear, how many of them are bearing an American-made label?
Everybody should do their part and be held accountable and responsible for it, just like you're saying with the presidencies. This should be a moving forward mission.
Absolutely. We should be able to say, well, Clinton was better at it, or Obama was better at it, or Bush was better at it. We're not. We have nothing to compare. It started with Trump. Stop picking on this man. And maybe in 10 years from now, people will be looking at saying, well, Trump did this better. Now this president's doing this. We have to stop. without the hate promoters, there would be a lot more harmony in America, and we would all be a much happier people. That's my point.
You know, and I don't think we can play hard enough the fact that whatever Rich calls it, the industrial
media complex.
Media complex.
Yes.
Yeah. I can never get that straight. But at any rate, they really do misinform the public very poorly. And the fact that the only thing I don't see them doing, and I try to watch all three of them, Lester Holt not included, but the only thing that the other two don't do is they, what I think would be more effective is they would laugh after they say there's going to be a reception, 75% of the economists in this country. That is...
Who are they, Larkin? Who are those 75%? I'd like to see them identified.
There is no existing.
Where is
number
such
like
a statistic coming from? Get them and post them up on the internet.
They make
this
it up.
This is all bull.
They make it up and they get away with it. I want to bring up another point that I think was probably one of the most pivotal things to happen last week, and as far as I'm concerned, in about the last 4 months, maybe 6 months. And that is the Business Roundtable got together last week. And the Business Roundtable is made up of 200 of the leading corporate CEOs in the country, the bad guys, as the Democrats like to call them, the evil ones. And they came up with a statement of purpose for a corporation. They really mulled their way through this and said, why do corporations exist? Why do big companies exist? And they came up with this statement that they put out last week that I thought was rather interesting. And they said that America deserves an economy that allows each person to succeed through hard work and creativity and to lead a life of meaning and dignity. We believe in free market system is the best means of generating good jobs, a strong and sustainable economy, innovation, and a healthy environment, and economic opportunity for all. And they go on for a couple paragraphs, but they reorganize their thinking. And I'm at this point calling it from shareholders to stakeholders. They have taken the shareholder and said, you're great. We appreciate you investing in our company, but our company cannot create a sustainable environment unless we create a corporation that in fact is true to our purpose of a corporation, which is giving all Americans what they deserve out of an economy. And they have relisted this to their five most important facts about a corporation. Objectives. Objective number one is to deliver a value to our customers. The customer has moved into the number one spot. But here's where it gets really interesting. The number two spot, investing in our employees. Now, I'm sure the corporate structure of the Made in America stores is a corporation. It's not the Mark is not going to be a member of this 200 panel because these are the 200 biggest corporations in the world, for that matter. And but Mark invests in his employees every morning. Every day he gets up and approaches his business. He invests in his employees. That has been at the bottom, if even existing, in the purpose of an existence of a corporation in the past. They have now moved it up to two, dealing fairly and ethically with our suppliers. And they say that they're dedicated to serving as good partners to the other companies, large and small, to help them and us meet our missions. Now, the supplier's number three on the pecking order, supporting communities in which we work. They respect the community. They plan to protect the environment, and they plan to embrace sustainable practices across our business. Number five, the last one on the list, generate long-term value for our shareholders who provide us the capital that allows companies to invest, to grow, and innovate. So It's from shareholders to stakeholders. This is probably one of the most important things that has happened. I'm going to now back up about three years, maybe back to just before our fine president got elected. This is pivotal. And I suggest that you all go to the roundtable, especially you, Mark, and read this thing to see exactly how the major corporations in this country intend to change the way they think about their business.
Beautiful. Great. Beautiful. It's time. It's been time for 25 years. Maybe
it's been time
up to 30.
50. Yeah. Yep.
It's been time years and years. And why was it? Why did they fear speaking about such things in the past? Who stopped them? They didn't want to be attacked by the people who were bringing in all the foreign-made stuff. There's always these people trying to push you down. Don't do it. I'll get it for you cheaper. I've attended a few of those seminars where people came in and they said, why should you have employees? Why should you work hard when I can bring it from a foreign country and it's cost you a third to bring it in? You'll make all the profit and you'll die rich and free. I mean, this was the mentality of the country for 20 years. Now we have a different thinking. And by the way, Larkin, that's the way it should have always been, this type of thinking, looking out for the employees, looking out for the future. But keeping employees also has to be something that we have to talk about. Number one is no company, no business, no organization can pay people if they are not collecting money and making a profit. We don't tell that to our people. People want everything, but they don't understand where money comes from. They really don't. Mark, can you pay another 50 people tomorrow to do something?
No.
Well, that's
right.
You
got to bring in more than you spend.
That's exactly correct. You must bring more in. But there's also another point, most important point, that in America, the poor and low-income people have more opportunities to become prosperous by staying focused on jobs and job skills. Nobody talks about that. I listen to all these various newscasters. No one's talking about that. They're saying, oh, America's getting poorer in certain areas. Tent cities are up because they can't find jobs in certain areas. No.
Well, it got
America
it got
is a place where the poor and low income have every opportunity to get a job if they get a job and a job skill. Yes.
It got no press whatsoever. I mean, virtually none. CBS did not mention it. ABC did, but only briefly in passing. I watched a PBS, the News Hour, which comes on later than all of them, and they did give it a lot more service than the national media did. The national media was too busy talking about the FBI people running around trying to chase people who have, they've got guns. Uh-oh, let's go get them. They've got guns. So
yeah.
That's the story that played. That's the story. That was half of what CBS talked about. That and the weather.
You know, Larkin, if you can send me that, what you just read, I'll ask Henry to post it up on our internet site, because we have a good number of people come on our site. I would post that on there and maybe even use part of it for my Saturday show, maybe as a commentary that this is what was discussed at this particular forum. We need to start talking about that. Maybe the national media will get the idea. It's time to start promoting America. And by the way, no matter who is president of the United States now or in the future, their first job is to promote America first and the American people. We haven't seen that in years. I'm listening to some of these bibblers and babblers up on the television trying to do their debates and all. I don't even want to hear about them anymore. None of them has said, we are looking out for America first. They're talking about, I want to give this away, I want to give that away. Who is going to pay the bill? Who is going to pay the bill? Working in human services, I have to be very direct with people, very brutal at times, because they want everything. Santa Claus comes once a year, not 365 days a year. It's as simple as that.
That's a very dangerous proposition, Michael, that you just said right there. I mean, look, we have a president who, even though, and you know, some of my like-minded friends and associates have differed with me on this point, I believe the number one policy reason that the president got elected was immigration, and I believe the number one non-policy reason was the Supreme Court. But, you know, if it's, some believe it's not immigration, but made in America. And look, they're all up there, Michael. But irrespective of what you may think or I think, what the issues were that pushed, they were all important. And they all fall under the auspices of the umbrella of a candidate who ran as a public, overt, unapologetic nationalist and has not been afraid to embrace that. And the political party we would expect to more so embrace that has largely, not just under the age of Trump but before the president, has largely avoided that and has run with the baton of nationalism is Aryanism and Nazism, because people have decided to rewrite and co-opt and whitewash history. And we have a president who has very clearly stated that, yes, we need alliances. Yes, we want strong alliances economically, military, diplomacy. Of course we want it. But you have a president who said, I'm the president of the United States, not the world. And that resonates. That is such a personally resonating statement. Not to speak for Mark or Larkin, but I really think it resonates so much in the homes, kitchen table discussions, and businesses of Americans, Michael, who want to work, generally want to be left alone, exercise their rights, raise their children the way they want, have a reasonable expectation that government's going to work not to do everything for them, but to keep them safe and uphold their rights. And the fact that, you know, whether you like the president or not, I kind of respectfully envy him the fact that you have an individual who so permanently inhabits the id, ego, and super ego psyches of his opposition and many within his own party. And all that tells me is that we're moving in the right direction we need to go. And, you know, Michael, you mentioned woulda, coulda, shoulda. And look, you're right about that, about what it could have, should have, happened in the past with presidents and made in America. But again, we have to understand how we got to this point, right? And we got President Obama because of President Bush, and we got a President Trump because of a Bush and an Obama, and to some extent, a President Clinton. You know, and so we have to understand that. So there, nothing happens, Michael, coincidentally. Impossible. There's no such thing as coincidence in politics, and so now it's just a question of, you know, how do the small business owners, you know, how do the working families of the country right now, how do they generally feel about the direction the country's going in? And in my opinion, in my small sampling, I think they believe we're moving in the right direction.
Well, you're right, I thought we got
Trump because all of the deplorables voted for him. Did we really
well, there
get
was
him?
A,
I
thought there was
that's
a,
why.
Yeah. There was a monster vote, this was called. Yeah, I mean, if you read the New York Times, you know, if you'd read the New York Times the day before the election, Clinton was going to win 57 states.
All the uneducated idiots, and they are, you know, they're all, unfortunately, in Alabama and Mississippi and Florida. And Georgia,
that's right.
You don't have any smart people in Florida. It's the only state in the country that balances budget every year. It's the only state in the country that doesn't have an income. Not the only one, but one of the few that doesn't have an income tax. But we have nothing but, you know, idiots in Florida. And
I want to tell you this from what I've been looking at, too, as we're promoting America, America, America. I see that a lot of people in the major news media are trying to divide people in America by race, color, creed, national origin, income.
Nah.
The whole deal. It seems this is what they really want to do is divide. How many news reports have you heard that say, support American workers because you may be supporting your own job or the job of your son, daughter, or neighbor? I don't hear anybody saying that. It's always, well, this one is a race baiter. Race baiting has been in the situation for 150 years. If you look up a statement done by Booker T. Washington, go to your internet site, to Booker T. Washington, you'll see what he said about race baiting 150 years ago. We're still having people do that. This is a business. Fear is a business. We talked about recession. If somebody says to you, don't drive down the highway today because I see you having an accident, you say, maybe I better not drive today. Or don't go to work today because the ceiling may fall. This is all nonsense. Every day of your life has to be lived trying to do your best, be your best. I don't understand where these people come from with these ideas. When I go around, I'm really honored to talk to people who say they like our common sense talk. They also agree that what's going on now in America should have been started 25, 30 years ago. It should have been continued. When good times were here during the Clinton administration, people should have said, well, wait a minute. We got to make sure this never ends. It didn't happen. All the computer, everything was taken out of America, sent overseas to be done. And the next thing you know, those places that made everything are now apartment buildings because all the manufacturing left America. How many of you right now on your phone can say, I have an American-made cell phone? Can you do it? How many of you can say, I have an American-made TV? I don't know how many can do it. That's what the problem is. People are paying $1,000 for something that comes into our port for $75, but that's the going rate if it was made in America. So let's make it in America. It'll be the same price, and the merchandisers will get less profit. It's time for the people to be the people who make the decision. Yes, Larkin.
Boy, do I wish it was that simple. Woo!
But you know, slowly educating. You know, Larkin, as the people have been going out for the school supplies, they tell me, Michael, there's so much junk made foreign. I can't believe it. I said, well, where have you been looking? You have five kids in your house. You've been watching this going on for years. You've been buying now your college children, you know, stuff for their bedding and all, and looking that it's coming from everywhere else but America. Of course, unless it's My Pillow, that's different. But the thing is, where were you all these years? We together are waking up to see a new America. By the way, 30 years ago, the leaders of China got together and said, we have an enormous economy, we have people, and we want to make money for the communist government. And so they embarked on getting more jobs for their people so that they could tax their people more and live like gods. We allowed this to happen. Those companies didn't all of a sudden take a pogo stick and jump out of America. They slowly were attracted out of America. I know because I attended a few of those conferences, not that I was in business of that type, but a person asked me to come by and they said, Michael, just listen to this person's spiel. You want to leave and become part of their movement. Why should you work hard when somebody else can do the work and you just be the salesperson? This is what's changing in America now. There'll be no recession as long as the people keep their jobs, spend their money in America, circulate their dollars in America. There'll be no recession.
But, Michael, that's the story. See, right there what you're saying, and there's no guarantee, right? I mean, we've talked about this before on the show, that economies that are guaranteed usually end in mass suffering. That's been true in the history of the world. And I, though it wasn't in the context of our economy, I will apply it here. Jefferson's comment, which he once remarked, where he said, "I prefer dangerous freedom over peaceful slavery." So while there is no guarantee, I mean, every time I hear talk about recession, I think about Larkin's, you know, being in business. I think about Mark. I think about Michael, you know, you, Curtis, Henry. And on one hand, sure, we pay attention to it. But as a business owner, on the other hand, we're like, we have mini recessions every day, Mark, right? I mean, if you think about it, we're always dealing with the ebbs and flows of being a business owner. And that's what makes it hard. Of course, there's a lot that's worth it also, Michael.
Sure,
but it's a lot. But it's tough. It's tough. It's hard. It is hard to be in business for yourself. It is, and until you've done it, right? I'm not saying that. I'm not trying to say people can't get it. I'm saying that it's just, it's like having children, basically. You know, I knew a lot of people with kids before I had kids, and then I realized, and I thought, how do you do this? Like, what do I do? You know, like, what do I do in the, you know, when the kid does this, and business is, in my mind, Michael, is the same. And the story, the actual story is, the press likes to fancy itself as activists, and in their activism, there isn't the it's rare that the complete story is really told. And I'm not saying the press should be activists for Made in America, by the way, Michael. I'm saying the press should be as impartial. I know I'm talking utopia here, Larkin. They should be as impartial and as objective as one humanly can be. No one is fully objective or unbiased. But the story isn't, Michael, what you actually just said. And if it were, there would be a little less of a focus on the fear and a little bit more on the actual reality. But alas, we have an election in approximately 14 months. So if you think it's bad now, wait until the first few primaries come February and March. Larkin Biden already had his "can you cheer for me" moment yesterday when he went to Iowa. They're talking about crowd. Let me ask you guys, when have you ever heard a politician before Trump talk about crowd sizes? Joe Biden talked about crowd sizes and said, "Yes, have you seen a bigger crowd?" And someone, Mark, yelled, "Yes, I have." Biden had his cheer for me moment last night, Michael, and we're 14 months away from an election, and he's already doing it.
Yep.
I mean, usually you ask people to cheer for you, you know, like a year before the election. Maybe you're the nominee. Joe, I know, Michael, I know we service parts of Delaware. Joe, if you're listening, I don't wish you any ill will, but walk away. Joe, you got to walk away. Michael, I said it last week. The former vice president, don't go through with it, Joe.
I understand.
I mean, my God, the guy's wife went on television the other night, Larkin, and couldn't make a case. Could you imagine Joe going around and saying, "Well, let me try to make a case for Larkin at Score"? I don't really know why the hell you should hire him.
Listen, I want to say one thing that will encapsulate everything that we've talked about the last 15 minutes. Will Rogers said many years ago, those who don't read the newspaper will end up being uninformed. Those that do read the newspaper will end up being misinformed.
Well, in many cases... That's very, very true, Larkin. You know, what I'm for is, let's keep the voters informed about positive things like our movement, efforts of Mark, you know, his report of the fair. Those were all American workers and friends, and the people behind the booths were all American workers. Wow, what a great place to support the American worker. That's how I look at it. Talk about our movement, the positive things that could be done and should be done, and then let the people judge the words of the candidates for themselves. From what I'm hearing from the candidates, many of them are not qualified to be in the positions they are now, let alone run for the President of the United States. But I'm not going to say more on it, because I know that only one person is going to reach the goal. So what, don't waste your thought power on it. Look at what the American worker is doing. Look at the fact that more school districts in the United States are reinventing their school system to have trades and industrial arts programs, cooking and automobile repairs. We haven't seen that in years.
Yeah.
How is
that's
it
because
possible
of a good economy
that all of a sudden we're doing that? Please do support all of your small businesses. It's very, very important. Those people employ 66 million people all over the United States. Look at that number, 66 million. Go to those small businesses, no matter what they're offering. Yes, many of them still may be offering some foreign stuff exclusively. That's okay. They're there. They're working hard. They're paying their taxes. Please go out of your way to support the small businesses, because they're supporting a lot of workers, and they're paying a lot of taxes, whether it's for the schools or the counties, fix the roads, whatever. It's been a great show, guys. It's really been good. I'm going to ask you for some final thoughts. Rich, some advice for the week.
Michael, most of what we buy, we can find in made in the U.S., and you can find it. This is an unpaid plug. You can find it at Mark's store, maineamericastore.com. You can get it.
Beautiful. Madeinamericastore.com. Mark, you have been an unbelievable example. I mean, I talk about you all the time. In fact, I have to produce more copies of the flyer because we have another big festival coming up starting Labor Day weekend and the weekend after at Częstochowa. I'm inviting everybody to come, open 12 until 8 p.m. each day. All 5 days, I'll be there giving out our flyers, promoting American made, great food, rides, bands, you name it. It's all going to be there at the National Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. And do spread the word about that. And I know that I'll see many of our listeners there. And thanks. Yes, final words, Larkin.
Yeah, I would be very simple on this one. God bless America. Change
God
does not
bless America. Beautiful. Mark, final thought.
Yeah, I just want to thank all you guys. It's really just about believing, even our listeners. Just believe in our country. Do your part. And everybody, if you're loyal to it and care a little bit, you can make a huge difference.
God bless you, Mark, Rich, Larkin, Henry, in travel. And until we have the opportunity to be together again, I hope that God will bless you and yours, and that God will bless America. Fly your flags proudly, because that's who we really are. We're proud to be American. We have many heritages in this country, but we're proud to be Americans. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I wish you and yours the very best.
The preceding program, the Polish American Radio Show, was brought to you by Polish American Radio.